Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Genevieve. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I went to school basically for as close to majoring in Viking studies as I could, yeah. Given my choices. And then I decided to start kind of writing in that area as I was studying it, writing fiction. And then I wrote The Witch's Heart actually the year that I started studying. Viking studies. The Witch's Heart is my debut novel that I sat on for 7 years before I tried to get it published. And yeah. Now it's a national bestseller and it's been translated into like, I think a dozen languages. So yeah, it's kind of crazy.
All right. So what led you to get to start studying Vikings? Like a fun fact about me is that I went to school in Puerto Rico, my high school in Puerto Rico, high school, my 12 years, I went to the same school, and our mascot were the Vikings, you know, so
that's awesome.
That's been my only interaction with the Vikings, you know, okay. You know, so, but I'm curious, like, what led you to be fascinated with this time period group of people?
It kind of started because my grandfather actually was from Sweden, and when I was in college, I got a chance to study Swedish. This was during the recession, and I ended up getting a scholarship to go study abroad in Sweden. Otherwise, I never would have been able to afford it because it's really expensive. And so while I was there, I was like, there's a rune stone. I don't know what this is. I don't know what any of this stuff is. But while I was there, I decided to just major in Scandinavian studies, minor in Scandinavian studies. Basically the only courses that were available when I got back to the States was one in Old Norse that semester. And I was like, I'll take that. Why not? And that ended up being the rabbit hole. That was my introduction to all this stuff was actually through like translating some of the stories from the original language and just like some of the quirks of like the language and the stories just like really drew me to them. So, yeah, that's really how it started. And then after that, I really wanted to go to graduate school for Viking studies. So I got into my dream graduate program at the University of Iceland. And then I couldn't go because they don't really offer financial aid. Like foreign institutions don't really have financial aid because school is basically free. But I couldn't like afford to live abroad for however many years. So yeah. I ended up just joining a Viking reenactment group, and I've been doing that for almost a decade.
Okay. So talk to us about Viking reenactment group. What does that look like? You know?
So I say reenactment, it's more like living history, right? So like our group, we're really trying to like kind of like explore the ways that people lived back then, try to recreate some of their crafts and their like ways of life and stuff. And so I do a lot of like fiber arts crafts, like tablet weaving. I'm trying to do this craft called knoll binding, which is basically like you have a loop around your thumb and you just make loops infinitely. And I'm not very good at it. But I'm trying, but like just those kinds of like skills that people used to have are very interesting to me.
That's fascinating. And so somehow you got this like gone down the rabbit hole and then wrote this book and put it on the drawer, I'm assuming, for quite some time. So what led you to get it out of the drawer and be like, hey, let me put myself out there?
So basically like I wrote The Witch's Heart, the first draft in 2011 for NaNoWriMo. I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah. It's National Novel Writing Month for listeners who don't know, 50,000 words in a month. The Witch's Heart, the first draft ended up being like 72,000. Mm-hmm. Like it was a lot. I wrote it in 3 weeks. And I kept it in a drawer because it was really close to my heart. And I also didn't know if anybody would go for like this book about this witch who's just like sitting in the woods for most of the book, exiled from the gods, like just doing her own thing. And so in the meantime, I tried to get two other books that I'd written published that are now shelved and are never going to see the light of day. But then a funny little thing happened in 2018, which is that Circe by Madeline Miller came out, you know, a book about a witch who lives on her own in exile and is just kind of doing her own thing. And I was like, okay, so maybe there's a market for that after all. So after 5 years of trying to find an agent, I finally, like with the other books, I finally started querying The Witch's Heart. And I had an agent within like 2 weeks, and I had a book deal within like 6 months. So it's like, it all just happened so fast after so many years of trying. So yeah, it was really one of those things where it was just the right time.
So was The Witch's Heart the first book that you completed, or was it, or did you have a couple of books beforehand? You triple travel?
At the time, it was the third book I had completed. Okay. But the first two were like part of a series. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote The Witch's Heart. And then I wrote like the first two books in the next series that I was going to write. Both of them were contemporary. One of them had to do with vampires. The other one had to do with Valkyries. If I were ever to pick those up again, they would need a ton of work. And so I just don't think that that's something that's ever going to happen. So with The Witch's Heart, like I kind of found...
Yeah, you found a market. And like, I love the timing also. Like, you know, we got Circe, like, mm-hmm. obviously it came out of nowhere. It feels like it came out of nowhere, but there was a market already, you know, with Son of Achilles and all these different things. Yes. So I think you were like, you had the right thing at the right time. You just had to sit with it, because it probably wouldn't have sell in 2011. Yeah. And they might just be like, there's no market. And then like,
exactly. People don't realize sometimes like so much of publishing is luck too.
Yeah.
And my first agent, the one who like I first worked with and who got me like my first book deal with Penguin and stuff, like, you know, like she was a newer agent too. Mm-hmm. So she like, I got her attention right away, like at the right time. So like, who knows, like maybe I'd still be querying The Witch's Heart if nobody had picked it up, because again, like I queried the other two for 5 years. Yeah. So it really was, the timing was just there. And I got very, very lucky.
Thank you for sharing this process, because I feel like a lot of people have like this idea, like you write a book, you get an agent, book goes to auction, you make a ton of money. And then you just like publish a book in a mm-hmm. year, and then it's just fine. And it's like, it's not, first of all, it takes years. It's not 1 year or a couple months, you know, it's not linear. There's multiple attempts. There's multiple books in the shelf, you know,
exactly.
That gets you. So you just never know. And it's a lot of it's luck too.
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about The Weaver and The Witch Queen. What is the elevator pitch?
So the elevator pitch is that it is a reimagining of the origin story of Gunhild, Mother of Kings, who is a, let's say, infamous Viking age queen of Norway. She was married to Erik Bloodaxe, who was the second king of Norway after his father, Harald Finehair, unified the country in like the 870s, 880s, we think. So it takes place in early 9th century Norway, and it's about, or sorry, 10th century Norway, the 900s. I was like, my brain like just doesn't keep track. Like I know what I'm supposed to say and it just comes out different. Okay, so the early 900s, early 10th century Norway. And it just follows Gunhild and like I basically in my historical sources, sorry, this is getting a little bit long for an elevator pitch, but in the sources are like very, very concerned with men. And like a lot of the times, like if there are women characters, even if they are like awesome and do awesome things, you rarely even see them like talking to other women. Right. So I'm, you know, reading one of the sagas that has Gunhild in it. I was like, you know what this woman needs? She needs a best friend. So I gave her two, and that's The Weaver and The Witch Queen.
I love this. And I love the fact you're just like, you know, this is what's missing in history, because mm-hmm. history was written by men for men and did not take into account women, you know?
Yep.
Like, especially like that early history, like we just saw the men doing all the different things. And like the backbone is really the woman. The woman is the one doing all the work.
Yep.
So you mentioned also that you had to take on a hobby outside of writing and outside of Viking. What is the hobby and how did you get started?
So I decided at one point, like The Weaver and the Witch Queen like really took a lot out of me. Like there were many, many times over the past like 2 years that I was writing it that I like just wanted to give up and just like go crawl into a hole and be like, I'm done. Goodbye, everyone. I'm going to become a hermit in the woods and live under a mushroom or something. So I was like, gosh, like if I ever stopped writing or doing Viking reenactment or like researching Vikings or whatever, that's like 95% of my personality. Mm-hmm. I would have nothing. I need something else. So I decided to take up knitting. Just like, because I have one of those brains where like, even if I'm sitting watching TV, I'm like, I gotta be doing something. I gotta be doing something. like, I feel like, oh, I'm not being productive right now. So I have to like, so knitting was basically like, I needed to do something with my hands that I could be like, yes, I just watched like 10 episodes of Community and I have like half of a mitten or whatever, you know? So it's a win-win.
So what kind of projects have you done? Have you done sweaters, socks, like, you know? So
I started off with like making baby hats because I took a class where we made baby hats and like dishcloths and stuff. And now I am working on like my second sweater. So I hope to just get better and better and like work on more challenging patterns as I go. Yeah.
This is exciting. I love this. Yeah. I know. I feel the pain. I usually like my problem is like my attention span, thanks to social media and thanks to all the distractions, is so limited that it's like what gets me out of it. And so I know I needed like an outside thing. I think I did a knitting class a couple years ago because my therapist was like, you're too anxious. Like do knitting.
Literally.
Get a knitting hobby, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, it worked for a little bit and then it stopped working for me. Like some people, if it falls into it and they go guns, hoes or patterns and stuff like that. For me, it's, I think I stumble upon podcasting. I love this. I love the fact you have like another outside hobby that's not related to work or, you know.
right.
Studying.
Yeah. And I really hope I don't think I'm going to burn out on this one. It's been like 2 years since I started. So like, that's a pretty good track record for me at least.
Yeah.
I was very recently diagnosed with ADHD finally.
Yeah.
And so like, I have so many, like if I like panned my camera for you to like see the rest of my like craft area, it's just like, here's all your hobbies. So like
the fact that like station. Yes.
So for me, knitting is it right now. I also have like started doing audiobooks too, because I'm like, I want to read and knit at the same time. But I also don't have really good listening comprehension, honestly. So I have to like be doing a knit, like a part of my knitting that like isn't super challenging so I could pay attention to the audiobook. Otherwise I'll be rewinding it like constantly.
Yeah, I listen to audiobooks before going to bed because it quiets my mind. And I'm fine with not missing the story. I'm like, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
there are different times. But yeah, like it's audiobooks that like you can just, I'm like, sometimes you just need like zone out, you know?
And
just enjoy.
Yep.
Speaking of audiobooks, speaking of books actually, what kind of books do you tend to read?
I read all across the board. I actually, when I lived in Iowa, I joined a book club at my local bookstore, Dog-Eared Books, amazing store. And they had book clubs where like, basically they would have all kinds of stuff, like stuff that I would never have picked up on my own.
Yeah.
And like, I also like, I'm still doing their book subscription so that they're sending me books that I never would have like picked up on my own. And I, because I really like reading outside my own genre. I feel like there's no way to like innovate within your genre without reading outside it and seeing what like what else is going on. I literally read everything. Like my TBR is just stacked with just all kinds of the off the wall like murder mysteries and like nonfiction and like cozy fantasy, and it just a little bit of everything.
So what has been the most surprising genre that you're like outside of your genre, like give it a try and you're like, oh my gosh, I did not think this will be my personality, but it's sort of become, you know, it's part of it, you know.
Nordic crime noir. A few years ago I started reading Icelandic murder mysteries. And then I was like, wow, this is dark, I love it. And then, you know, I download like author's entire like backlists on Kindle and like I'm just because I don't know, like I never was into thrillers or like mysteries or anything, but something about like Nordic murder mysteries just like do it for me. I don't know. It was very surprising. The first one I downloaded, I was like, I'm not going to like this. And I was like, okay. And the next one.
That's amazing. I love this. Like, thank you for recommending a new genre for our listeners to pick up.
Yes.
So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I will never shut up about Dark Water Daughter by H.M. Long. It's an arc, or I read an arc. It comes out July 11th. And it is a pirate fantasy, which like I never knew that I needed.
Yeah.
But it's just so good. The magic system is so unique. And I just devoured it, and I can't wait for the audiobook because even though I've not listened to like a ton of audiobooks, I knew both of the narrators from like other stuff that I'd listened to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like super looking forward to listening to it on audiobook because it's easier for me to listen to audiobooks when I've already read the physical book. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about that. Like if you like Pirates of the Caribbean, the author Hannah just posted a TikTok recently that was like, if you like Commodore Norrington in the second movie, looking all grungy in Pirates of the Caribbean 2, you might enjoy this book, and can confirm, retweet.
Oh my gosh, I'm bumping this book up for sure. I did not know that I needed a pirate fantasy. Like,
right?
You gave me something that I'm like, I did not know I needed, but now you tell me, I'm like, oh yes. Yeah, I do need this.
Yes.
Tell us where you can find you online.
So I am most active on Instagram at Jen Gornicek. That's Jen with a G, GENGORNICHEC. I also have a Twitter and a Facebook account, that are the same handle. I'm not super active on either of them. So like Instagram really is the best way to get hold of me. I also have a website, GenevieveGornicek.com. And I have a contact form on there. So if you don't use social media and want to get a hold of me, the contact page on my website, it's a good way.
Thank you, Genevieve, for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you. This was great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.